number one wide receiver coming into the fall. Is that an accurate statement? Or?
Well, I wouldn't say he's our number one wideout by any stretch of imagination. There's three kids on the team that have playing experience that are definitely ahead of Robert at this point because they've played. And Kenzel, Alex, and Jordan have all played in games and had some productive moments. But I would say this, it is Robert's time. And spring hindered him. He had an injury. It appears to be better. And I'm very excited to see him and Jazz see how far they've come.
What have you seen out of Jazz?
You know, I think he's got over his injury, number one. He's developed himself physically. His ability to be involved in the offense this summer was impressive. You know, I think the kids go through learning the offense in camp their first year, going through the redshirt year, learning it again a little bit in the spring, and then really being actively involved. But to be able to go back and start at zero in the summertime and do it again, it's not a retake, but they sure pick up a lot of the little things they did in the past. So I think he's grown in that area. His route running was more crisp as he went through just this change of direction things throughout the summer. And I've heard he's catching the ball well, so we'll see.
Gary, you were asked downstairs, obviously, about Melvin getting the feature back and all that. But last year you guys really relied on three, and this year you've got at least two that I think you're comfortable with. How much do you have to resist the urge to feature Melvin and also keep Corey involved?
It's a delicate balance. I think those two young men last year, and James and Melvin, handled that so unselfishly. Does that happen again? I sure hope so. But we need to make sure that Melvin is getting his touches. But yet to say we're going to hand the ball to Melvin 30 times a game would be a mistake. That's not smart. So there's a balance there. I think it comes with communication. And Corey is expected to be a very good player and come in and bring some things to the offense and help us as we go. So it's a balance. The challenge to me there is not really that. It's finding the third back. Is it Taiwan? Can Taiwan come in and do what Corey did a year ago? Because you got to have three. Is it going to be Watt? Is it going to be, who is the third back when you're trying to get Watt to play some tight end now in H, and now you're going to ask him to be a fullback and you're going to ask him to be a tailback? Is it Ramish? Taiwan will have the opportunity.
You've also talked about getting Melvin more involved in the throw game.
Yes.
Does that open up possibility for some things you guys did last year by having Melvin and Corey or whoever the third back is on the field at the same time?
I would like to see us move into that package at times. It may be game specific. It may be, type of the season oriented specific, but I think it will. And if we can get Melvin involved sometimes out there and throw him a bubble screen or throw him a slant or whatever it may be, it's going to loosen up people and their ability to be able to play the fly sweep. And so it just helps everything if we can get him more involved.
And Coach, going through with that, the quarterback battle, how would that affect, the packages in the run game and how you use the run backs that way?
Yeah, depending on where we're going, regardless who the quarterback is, we want to find a way to run the ball to the outside edges of the offense without it just being primarily the fly sweep. We had an outside zone play we ran, pin and pull play we ran, not any of them overly effective last year. They had their spot, but we need to be better on the outside edges in the run game. I think an athletic quarterback or a quarterback that has the threat to even run the ball, and Joel can do that. Joel can pull the ball and go run a little bit and do some things. It's not who we are. It's not our staple, but we need to have the ability to have that threat. And now if it's a more athletic quarterback, then it just makes it that harder to defend.
You mentioned Watt's versatility. What do you think his best position will be? And is there any danger of using him too much where it diminishes what he can contribute?
Yeah, I would say this. He's a rare talent because he's a very smart fullback. He's not just ramming it in there. His ability to be able to read a block, and he's physical when he needs to be, but he also plays very smart, and he can leverage people the correct way and kind of sets blocks up as a fullback. But he does have tremendous hands. He's a very good athlete. He's proven to catch the ball very, very well. And what do? We let him run the ball one time last year. ran like for 8 yards on a belly play. So, but he can be, he's athletic enough fullback to be able to play an H-moving tight end and be very involved with the offensive scheme. And in fact, this summer, he's actually met with Jeff more than he's met with Thomas Brown to help him evolve in the offense and become an H. And that causes some issues for an offense. Now, if I think I get just a fullback in there, quite frankly, as a defensive coordinator, I see that much different if I got a fullback and a tailback than if I have an H and a tailback. It's a different position. It's a different world. Harder to defend.
Have you coached a right tackle like Rob that's 6'8", 330 and is, you know, agile and powerful?
Nope, I have not. He's a rare talent. And you know, the great thing for me is sometimes you get to be around these kids in these settings and you get to know them even better than you did before. But he's also got some personality to him. But he's really, you look at him, I mean, you can see him, you guys see him here, and he has done a tremendous job of making nutrition be important and, you know, getting himself at as good a weight as he can possibly be the best player he can for us. But he is without a doubt the number one leader on our offense. It's not, you know, Melvin is a very good leader also, but I think because of the position that Rob plays, and it's Wisconsin, and it's the offensive line, Rob's voice is definitely heard, and he's taking great pride in that. So, good player, great-looking kid.
Do you know where Rob's weight's at right now?
I could tell you exactly. I think he's probably 330-ish, 25 or something.
He said he was 330, but
yeah, 330. Yeah, that would be about. Yeah, right. Yeah. And he's been, what was he,
380?
He was 380.
Yeah. He looks very good. So I know his pants are kind of tucked in, but that's a good thing. So his belt's a little longer.
You know, one guy who hasn't been able to contribute because of injury is Vontae Jackson. Is he even? What is the odds that he can help in any way somewhere this year?
Well, he's. From the reports from the training room and with Coach Bush being able to work with him, the last 3 weeks, they seem like it's, I'm not worried about my injury anymore. You know, there's that transition, especially with him, because, you know, it went good and then it went bad, right? So it's hard for him to overcome. But it appears right now all is good. And it's the ability for him to be able to say now, okay, I can go and let's go do this thing and go get it done. You know, I think every kid goes through those injuries that way. But he's very athletic. He's a talented young man. I remember hearing Thomas Hammock talk to us about how talented he thought he was before he hurt his knee. I just think playing the safety position, it eases his mind a little bit. I know it does because he said it kind of does. So, but we'll see. You know, can he tackle? Can he run? Can he change direction? Can he learn the defense? He's a talented kid. I'm proud of the way he's fought to come back because I've done that 3 times myself, and it's not easy.
And A.J. Jordan at safety is going to be in the mix there as well?
Yeah, A.J. is going to be in the mix in that position. He's going to be highly involved again in special teams, and the more that he's played, say, I think playing safety in the spring, maybe the biggest thing it did for him is helped him learn to be a better tackler because he got to tackle in the individual drills. He got to do some stuff. But he'll, you know, he's going to be in the mix. It's going to be interesting to watch Moose compete there, Austin compete there. Maybe one of those new kids, you know, does Luburn get into the mix in that scenario? You know, there's, who knows, but somebody's got to. So Austin Hudson has gained 27 pounds since he walked on campus in January, and he's running just as fast as he was when he got here. So it's impressive how he's handled himself, and he's bought into the eating the correct way and training the right way.
What's your plan for using Warren Herring as that nose guard or on the outside with Bryce?
Yeah, he'll be. He's definitely the nose guard. The development for him to be able to get out and be involved in some pass rushing situations or what have you, or even play some defensive end for us, will completely rely on, you know, where do we sit with the other nose guards. So, you know, is Jeremy going to come and play that? Is Goldberg going to play there? Is Connor Sheehy going to come in there and play to where we feel like we have the ability to get Warren off the field? So I've challenged Warren. We talk about it all the time. I was kidding with him today walking down the hallway. We got to be able to get to the point to where, you know, Warren can comfortably play 50 snaps at a high level. And some may not say that's a big number, whatever. I think it is for a nose guard. I think that's a big number to play. You know, Warren says he'll be ready to play 70, so I hope he is. So, but we got to find somebody who can get him off the field and help him.
You think freshmen are physically ready to take on play at this level?
It takes a rare kid that's physically ready to do it, number one, but more importantly, mentally ready to do it. Skill position kids are much more likely to have the opportunity. There's not many Michael Dieters in the world. You know, now, could Michael come in and start at a center in the Big Ten and be able to play that all season? You know, I don't know, but he's going to be in the rotation as a freshman offensive lineman, and that's a rare, especially because he's still 17. I guess he's just barely turned 18 years old here in a couple weeks. But it's the grind is what gets him. You know, not necessarily it's not a 40-yard dash, it's a marathon, and that grind mentally gets to him and physically gets to him. I think that's where freshmen can run into problems.
But you see just in their makeup now, Patterson and Sheedy, where they might be able to
Connor, yes, right now is in the rotation because he has the physical presence to be able to do it. He has the overall toughness to do it. Jeremy's still a work in progress. He's still working himself into shape. He didn't have a lot of the opportunities from a training standpoint that Connor has. And Jeremy didn't have all those at home, but he's getting better at it.
And you mentioned downstairs that Connor could fit in somewhere and on the inside, correct?
I'm going to ask him to be able to, yes. And Coach Chad will ask him to be able to learn the nose and the end both in those certain scenarios. He's, like I said, even with Warren versus Bo a year ago, we're going to be more of this a little bit on the snap of the ball at that nose guard position, which there's more than one way to do things. So where Bo last year was more into it at the beginning, we'll probably move around a little bit more. That fits Connor. Warren can do both and needs to do both, and that would also fit Goldberg. So. Anything else?
Personality of the linebackers change at all without Chris, or do these guys that are coming back kind of have a little bit of Chris in them? Because he set such a good example of the way he played.
Well, I think the way Chris prepared and the ability for Landish to be around him for so many years is invaluable. And Landish prepares very well. He doesn't say a word, as you guys probably know. You got to squeeze it out of him. But he's got good knowledge. The Trotter boys are both very smart young men. Having them both inside of the inside linebacker position, I believe, is a great move. They'll be versatile kids there. Packages can grow with them in them, and sometimes with them not in them if needed, and still be a positive. The big question there is finding that fourth inside linebacker. Who is that going to be as we move forward? That's a challenge. There's a number of kids that have been in the program, and a number of new kids will have to fight for that spot. And that's an interesting one. It's an important one, too.
And the biggest thing year two versus year one for you at this stage coming to these meetings is what?
My comfort. Coming to these meetings, that's as far as the football team goes and the way I feel, it's a huge difference in just being around the kids. I understand who they are, understand their personalities. It's such a difference. It's very calming for me because I can be more of who I am being around the kids. And I can kind of get a feel if they're having a good day, a bad day, or whatever it may be because I understand their personalities. I'm not perfect at that by any stretch, but we just know each other. The hallways are the way I like to have them be now. It's a friendly, it's a family environment. It's very businesslike, but it's yet people know that we have their best interests.
You mentioned Jesse Hayes downstairs. What's been the biggest change in him from year one under you to now?
Well, there's big challenges that are going out to some kids, and I think as you're in a program for a year and as a head coach, I think you need to let kids understand where they sit. And Jesse needs to be the player. It's his time, just as is Vince Beagle's time, just as is Robert Beilwright's time. Jesse Hayes is, again, as you grow and you develop, when you leave the building, how important is it to you? And that's where we are, because he's talented, he can run, he can take care of his business. I really like what he does. But he's got to have the ability to walk in and be consistent and in front of his teammates and make the plays he needs to be able to make in practice consistently for us to say, not as a group of coaches, but as a football family, yep, this kid's ready to go and he's going to bust his tail for us. And I think Jesse's ready to do that. But Vince and Jesse at that B backer position is going to be very important as we move forward through this year. Now, I say a little more, a few things about them now, I guess, because maybe I'm coaching them. But I expect that position group to be very good, and those are two talented kids that need to be represented as well this year for us to be a good defense.
What do you like about coaching that, adding that this year for you?
I think, well, I know it does this. It allows me to coach, which I love to do. I love to be in a meeting room, and I don't get to spend as much time with them as some of the other position groups, but I like that part of it selfishly for myself. I do think it adds another area for me to be around the kids a little bit in a different environment that I don't sometimes get to be in. I'll be more involved. I'll make a short yards goal line presentation on Tuesday in front of the kids, in front of the defense, because that's kind of my responsibility on the defensive side. I think that having a position group is good for that. Now, on the flip side of that, I got to make sure I'm not always, you know, commending one side of the ball and forgetting about the offense or what have you, because you can get into that situation too. But 1 year I coordinated at Utah State, I had to be very conscious of that in practice. Be much easier when you just coach in one position.
Gary, if you address this previously, yep. I apologize, but the I think people might have been surprised to hear you mention Michael Caputo as one of the leaders on defense. Why is he someone who's so prominent in your mind in that regard?
Well, I think Michael has been, first of all, he everything he does, he just commands respect. I think from the way he grew up to the expectation levels of himself, it's very clear the direction that his family wants him to move in, how he carries himself in the classroom, how he carries himself from a social standpoint. The kids respect him early and often as he gets involved in the young players' lives. His ability to say, coach, you know what, I'm going to play wherever you need me to play, whether it's outside linebacker, whether it's going to be safety. Quite frankly, he'll still do some of both packages as we get. As that field gets smaller and smaller and smaller, you know, on the offensive side with four and five receivers at times, there's a time when Michael may need to move even a little closer to the line of scrimmage because he can cover tight ends as good as anybody we have on our team. And he's a good blitzer. He's a tough kid. But he's not going to walk out and hip, hip, hooray. He's not going to be the first guy running out of the locker room on game day. But he's a steady Eddie. He's a worker. And the kids respect him for that.
What's your biggest question mark right now?
How the youth will handle the situation of Big Ten Wisconsin football. And that's going to be the identity at the end of the year. We sit down and we look at it as how well did the youth mix with the veterans. I think our older kids in this program have done everything they can to welcome the youth but yet hold them accountable and have high expectation levels for them. We need to continue to do that as coaches, but we don't need 15 of them to play, but we need to rely on a few of those kids. And I'm not just talking about newcomers this year. I'm talking about youth in our program, freshman, sophomore, that have not played in those environments have got to be able to step up and do some positive things for this football team. If we can do that, I think we'll be very solid and put ourselves in a position to play some big games.
You mentioned a wisdom that suggested you'd rather ease into the season rather than playing in terms of competition rather than getting handed LSU. Is that fair?
I've thought a lot about that. And this year, the one thing I like about it is just what I just said with the youth. They are going to get in a big-time moment. And that first big-time moment that they've got themselves into this year is not going to be the first Big Ten game. It'll be the first snap of the season against LSU. So I would look at that as a positive for this year right now. And maybe that's, you know, try to make a positive out of everything. But I do, I really believe that it's good for this team to get in that situation early on. And I wouldn't be surprised if LSU felt the same way, that they have an opportunity to play a big-time opponent early with a bunch of youth that they have, too.
You mentioned Caputo, and I know coaches always say that if someone isn't available, the next guy's got to step up. But what did you miss most not having him in that Penn State game last year?
His ability to be able to finish, his ability to cover the tight ends. I know he's very good at it. He's crafty, he's nifty, he's athletic enough, and he's physical enough to kind of stay in them. You know, they're big guys who want to push off, and they run leverage routes and do the things they do. And Michael has been fantastic at that. Him and Joe Schober are the two best covering guys we have when it comes to tight end coverage skills. I think we missed that, and then. I think that even that defense last year, as many strong personalities as there was on that defense, I would personally have to sit back and say the kids looked at 44. I mean, no one's ever going to say they didn't look at Chris Borland first from a standpoint of who's going to go out there and grind this thing through. But our kids looked at Michael next. I mean, I think that's what I believe.
Yeah, have any concerns whatsoever about Joel's shoulder, or is everything fine?
You know, I don't. I feel good about it. He's been good all summer. He tells me he came by the other day, and I was out watering my trees in the backyard, and all of a sudden it's Coach A, and I look up, and it's Joel right there, and he's playing golf. So I said, oh, you better be better. His shoulder must feel pretty good. So we talked there for about 15, 20 minutes as he held up the other golfers, but he said he felt very, very good and had progressed well, and it was good to get him in that environment. It was away from football, so it was a spur of the moment, and he was very positive with the way he felt.
It's got to be one of your stranger coincidences, just be sitting watering your plants and your quarterback.
Walks by the quarterback. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how good he played. I wish I could have seen him come in on the green to see how he was playing, because my son almost killed Coach Johnson this summer playing golf. So he hit a golf ball right into his kitchen. So, did I tell you that one? Oh, he hooked one right off. 12th hole, well, the Hawks Landing where I live.
Which
so
one
I,
your son?
Chasen. So. Yeah, it was an interesting story. So I went and sat there and looked at the broken window on the patio with Chase. Chase is like, I didn't think I hooked it that far. Yeah. Coach Johnson did. It's just right there on his patio. And his son walked down and handed the ball to Chase. And Chase is like, that's my ball? So, yeah, that was an interesting part of summer.
What do you think? He had a sojourn Shelton this year. He had some good moments last year, but he had some moments to work. Mm-hmm. And you guys talked about the emotion that he let things get to him.
Yeah, I think Sojourn is, as we watched him through spring, I think I've told you guys a couple times, we went through four practices, I believe. I think his third or fourth practice was just kind of really average, and he bounced back from that. I saw none or no signs at this point to, you know, a sophomoreitis or whatever. He's working hard. He's gained weight. He's definitely gotten stronger. Coach Strickland says in his meetings within the summer that he is becoming more vocal and a teacher, which leads me to believe he has a better, again, pre-snap awareness and a pre-snap understanding of what's taking place on the field, which is so important in his position. So he's grown. He's a talented young man. Excited to see where he sits and how he gets out there and handles his sophomore year.
In the spring, we talked about Devin Galvin come back. Is he still going into camp, your third option?
Absolutely. Okay. And Devin, I'm so... We're all happy for Devin, right? I mean, for him to be able to come back and be where he is. But now it's not just being happy for him. The kid's playing football, and he's playing pretty well. The snaps that he had in the spring should go a long ways in helping him move forward as he goes through the spring or through the fall camp. And we have a couple more kids to add to that. Now, it'll be, you know, again, we got Lubrun, we got Derek. Where are they going to fit into the mix of those back-end kids? Austin, who can really run. So it's going to allow us to be more versatile. But I love where Devin Galvin is right now. He looks good.
Who's playing with Joel?
I don't know who it was. Yeah, it was a twosome. Yeah, so they were moving through. Yeah, I don't know who it was.